Are you ready?
I was born ready.
All right, we're now in the podcast. I have a special thing to play instead of our theme song.
What are we calling this segment? The verdict?
Yeah, here's the verdict.
Okay, so I really, really, really like this movie.
I wound up hating it.
I hated it.
I liked it.
So yeah, I did like it.
My verdict is that I did hate it.
The verdict is I hated this movie.
I liked it.
Though I hate to admit it, I will say that I loved this movie.
I thought it was all right.
I hated it.
Okay, I didn't love it, but I really, really liked it.
I was like, I thought it was good. It was a good movie. But I didn't love it. I'm sorry.
I did hate it.
Obviously, I hated this movie. It sucks.
I liked it. I didn't love it.
Well, I hate to say it, but I loved it.
I thought it was all right.
I hated it. This movie sucks shit.
I'm happy to say it. I loved it.
I thought it was good.
I didn't quite hate it.
So I'm going to say I just didn't like it.
I liked it. It was good.
Too confusing to like really... really love.
I thought it was all right.
I liked it. I really liked it.
Man, this movie sucked. I hated it.
I hate to say it. I hated it. I
hate to say it, but I also hated it.
Hated it. This movie sucked.
Yeah. This is a great documentary.
I think I'm going to say I loved it.
It was not as bad as I thought it would be, but I hated it.
Hated it. This movie sucked.
I liked it.
I did not love it.
1 star. I hated it.
Certainly a love on the comedy scale.
Well, I didn't hate it.
I obviously thought the movie was total trash.
As a movie, I think it's all right.
I thought it was really good. I didn't love it.
I hated it.
I did hate this movie.
I thought it was all right. Yeah. So what did you think of all that?
Unbelievably long. I couldn't... Is that how many episodes? Is that every single reaction I take it?
That's every single one.
We use the phrase, I hate to say it, but we use that a lot, it turns out.
We also use the phrase, suck shit, too.
Okay. It was like the audio version of the guy that takes a picture of himself every day for 10 years.
Yeah. I saw a great spoof of those the other day where a guy was like, kid takes his same picture every day for 5 years. And it was really just a kid standing in front of a mirror, like winking every now and again. Like, and I was like, that's actually pretty good. I like that kid. That was so much longer than I would have ever imagined. I definitely would have had the under on that. I didn't like hearing it. In a weird way, it condensed the show down into like nothing. It was kind of scary.
Well, those are the verdicts.
It's like when you see that video that's like, Christianity Explained, and it's a YouTube video and it's 45 seconds. You're like, God, really?
Well, we're not here to just discuss our verdicts. We're here to give out awards.
Hell yeah.
So this is the annual year in review episode. We give out awards to the movies we talked about this year with the most, our most hated, our most loved, our most far off, and the best outsourced content, our best guest, and our best voicemail. They'll also get awards. You're with us today, certified movie and podcast fanatic, and my close personal friend, Elena Derva. Say hi to the people.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. It's honestly an honor.
Your credits?
Told me you were starting this podcast. I had like 2 beers that day and I texted you and I was like, I need to be on there at some point. So just putting that out there before you even put out your first episode and record it, I'm going to be on there one day. So thank you for following through.
Of course.
As someone who also has a friend, a previous kind of guest on this pod, Curly, who supposedly is going to do a podcast and I've already invited myself on and he's never going to record it. I know that feeling of like, yeah, so when do I get to be on? And they're like, well, let me buy a microphone.
On your project.
Now, keeping with the show's theme, I think you have to love one of us and hate one of us. Have you decided how that's going to go? I'm concerned that Quentin has a head start by having actually met you.
You could definitely think so, but it's also like an advantage. There's like an assumption there about his taste. And with you, I'm coming in clean. And I've tried to be debriefed just a tad, but...
I've made no mistakes. That's the advantage I have. It's sort of like, well, we'll get to it later, but that's how like those relationships happen in real life, is when someone's like, they think this the stranger at the coffee shop is perfect because they don't leave their laundry on the floor like their dirtbag husband does. But really, they do. They just don't know it.
Fair enough. We'll see.
Theory, at least. All right, Quentin. Oh, wait, are we not going to do the theme song? I guess you played that insane opening, so we don't need a theme song.
Yeah, that was the theme for today.
I can't wait till next year when it's 52 of those. Long. Yeah, that'll be sick.
So let us just get this out of the way. Let us be perfectly clear. We're not here to discuss the best and worst movies of 2020. We're here to discuss the best and worst movies of our own biggest hits and misses on the podcast this year. So none of that kajillionaire or... I'm thinking of ending things or any of that.
I'm sad to say I don't think I've even seen a 2020 movie this year. Maybe like a documentary on Netflix or something, but nothing where I've had to outsource. So
yeah, I don't think I've seen. Wait, when did Trolls 2 come out?
Trolls World Tour came out this year, I think, in February.
Okay, I saw that.
That was a big promotional time. I think that was right before quarantine, maybe. So
yeah,
they were really selling that. I saw a lot of like product placement and stuff. It was big. So I hope it paid off.
I saw that one. That was the best movie of 2020 for me. of 2020 movies as the only one that I saw.
Are we adding it to the Criterion Collection?
Yeah, right next to Armageddon and Chasing Amy. Some of the hits, the peaks of the franchise.
And I'll nominate Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story.
You know, I think I've seen that movie kind of. I remember thinking it was pretty funny, but I don't remember anything about it. But then I keep seeing it.
Underrated Apatow. You know, you always want to go Step Brothers or Pineapple Express, but that one's really slept on for sure.
Somebody referenced it at the store the other day. It was like some kid made a joke. He's like, "Oh, you know, Dewey Cox," and I was like, "I don't know this." And I was like, "It's one of those movies that had snuck into the lexicon. I didn't even realize it."
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Quentin, where are we going with this? What's the first? Are we giving out awards right away? What's the first award?
Oh yeah, we have some unfinished business because we're awarding Voicemail of the Year first, and we have a last minute entry.
Hi, Quentin and Enoch. It's Rachel. So I wanted to call in to address the perceived plot hole in It's a Wonderful Life. So Enoch talked about how Clarence shows George his life as if he had never existed, and he pointed out that if George killed himself, then all those things that had happened would still be in place. But after George saves Clarence, you know, he's moping about, and Clarence is, you know, talking about, like, what, you shouldn't kill yourself? You know, there's so much to live for. And he's like, I wish I just never would have been born. And Clarence is like, oh, really? And then he shows them. So George is the one that prompts that. And it gets him to the ultimate end, which is making George realize that, you know, his life is important. There are people that love him. And he, you know, means something to the town. Further proving that Clarence definitely deserves his wings. So that's that. And God, I really love that movie. Oh, and just since I'm on here, I'll go ahead and mention, when you're talking about Home Alone 3, you guys said that the boy got the car from his dad, when really he got it from the cranky neighbor lady for shoveling the snow. Because you know, her bread from France or whatever got switched out. And that's how she ended up with the car, and they ended up with, or the bad guys ended up with the bread. So, okay. Thanks. Merry Christmas, you wonderful building and loans.
So,
okay,
so
real
two
quick.
Things.
I didn't say that. I'm talking about the car that the dad gives him when he gets back from the business trip. Not
yeah,
the
that's
OG
the second,
car
that's
that
the
he
second
uses.
Car. I think
that's the one I was referencing.
Yeah.
Do we have an award for worst voicemail of the year? Bingo. Rachel, you win it. She's upstairs. Doesn't matter.
Those had the hottest takes for sure.
So I was thinking about this today. I couldn't find the words at the time, but for me, the reason Clarence shows him what life would be like if he never existed is to show like the positive weight of his actions in his life, rather than show him what it would be like if he committed suicide, which would show like the negative results of a potential action. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get all that. My whole point was that they were showing a town without him having been there, and yeah, maybe he said that or whatever, but that still isn't the actual situation that they would be in. Like, there's never a point. The angel's options aren't to do good and earn his wings or to erase you. Like, it's not like in Clarence's power to be like, all right, man, wish granted, my dude. Bloop, and he's gone. Like, that's not up there. Whatever. She's mad I didn't love the movie. It's fine.
Do you want to go into the nominees for Voicemail of the Year?
I do.
Oh, first up, we have Leona from episode 14.
Hi. I think Cat in the Hat is the worst movie ever made in the history of movies, and I hate it even more because Quentin actually didn't hate it. 2.5 is way too high, and I think that Quentin should be fired and never allowed to talk about movies ever again, ever. Good night.
Should we just go all through
love
them,
that.
Or should we talk about
love that voicemail? That's up to you. Love that voicemail. Good voicemail. One of the few times where someone said something on the show, and I said, "Man, I wish I'd said that."
2.5 is a little high. That's a little, but I did see it in theaters. It's pretty
good.
It's pretty. I saw that in theaters. Yeah.
Did you love that movie or hate that movie?
I was a child, so like I tolerated it. I think it was stimulating enough visually and plot-wise, but I haven't seen it since. It was not something I would come back to.
Quentin thought it was good.
It's a great voicemail too. Even though I disagree with the voicemail, I think it's a great voicemail because it's concise.
I like the passion.
It's hard-hitting, yeah, it's concise, and it's straight to the point. That's what I love about it so much.
Definitely.
I think it's a great voicemail, but I don't want to give my decision until we hear the rest of them.
For sure.
Are we going to play them all, or are we just going to talk about them?
No, we're going to play them all.
Hi, this is Harper, and I'd like to tell my thoughts about Home Alone 3. I gave it a 2-star because I don't really like that it's called Home Alone 3 because it's about a different person.
That's Harper from episode 22.
Yeah, she was mad at me because I made her do the voicemail. I told her earlier tonight that she was nominated for an award. She asked what she got if she won. I said nothing, and she went, meh. Was not so interested.
Your child.
She is, yeah.
Cool.
She is the, second oldest. She's got a twin sister. She's 2 minutes younger. They had a lot more interesting thoughts about that movie. So I was... And then when I made her do the voicemail, big mistake, she then did the bare minimum, which was like, here's one thing I thought about it by, and hung up.
So the main reason it's nominated is because she left us wanting more. And I think that's always something you want in a voicemail.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it that way. I'm a little bit too close to that one, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
You need a reason to call them back. So I think she did great.
Okay.
Now we're going to go to Emily, episode 12.
Hey, it's Emily again. I got called out a few episodes ago for not calling again, and I was going to respond to that in a mean way, but ultimately I am calling again, so it worked. Other than that, Enoch keeps talking about the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and I just have to ask when he's going to assign Oliver Stone's JFK to Quentin, because I keep begging Quentin to watch that movie, and he says, no, Enoch might recommend it. So I would just like for that to happen soon. Honestly, just about every movie I want Quentin to watch, he says he can't because Enoch loves it. So maybe we just need to link up. Let me know.
So this one's nominated because I think it has a real world effect since we did end up covering 8 episodes later or 9 episodes later.
Yeah, a fan made something canon in your podcast. That's cute.
That's true, yeah. And she did a good Quentin impersonation. No, you can't sign it. That sounded just like you. And it did work. Yeah, like you said, we ended up doing JFK. So
I actually listened to that episode today in my prep. So
who do you think shot the president?
Oh, probably not Lee Harvey Oswald. That's for sure.
There we go.
I know what to say. Do you, Quentin, do you not think? Or do you do, or what? What's the take?
Oh yeah, for sure you did him.
Suicide.
You think Lee Harvey Oswald shot him? Sharted on John F. Kennedy? God.
That's exactly what I think.
I cannot believe you didn't know the Zapruder film.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on like episode 3, and that was like my first time hearing about the Zapruder film.
Yeah, he's like the...
Like I knew about the actual movie, I just didn't know it was called that.
Spielberg who?
Dude.
He's my favorite auteur.
Next one is Dave from episode 10.
Hey guys, it's Dave. I figured since I was called out by name on last week's episode, I should call in and leave a voicemail. I love the podcast, and I thought the movies from, I guess, the previous week now, Wiener Dog and Best in Show were two of the best films you have selected. I actually love both of those movies, but I have a bone to pick. I don't think either of you mentioned that Dawn and Brandon from Wiener Dog are both characters from Welcome to the Dollhouse, which is the first movie by Todd Solondz back in 1995, and then he directed Wiener Dog a few years ago. Seemed like a glaring oversight from two such fine film scholars as yourself. But other than that, I do love the podcast. It has actually made me watch some movies that I have been meaning to watch from the last several years and have not made my way around to it. So anyway, thanks for the podcast. Keep up the good work, but, you know, maybe work on some of your details when you're discussing these films. All right, talk to you guys later.
So pros and cons, what do we think?
I think this one is everything. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's everything. It is complimentary. It's got a dramatic element of like reality show. Like you talked about me and now I want to say it to your face kind of energy.
Sure.
Still complimentary of, I really liked both of the movies. That's like a rare take to like both because they were both so different. And then also to neg you a little bit and say, you didn't know this one filmic piece of trivia? I think it was perfect.
Yeah, I like that he, and also when he's calling out not knowing it, considering I don't want to know that, and it's stupid to me, that means he's just calling out Quentin.
Right.
So that's like, oh, this is dope, because he's calling out Quentin. He was. I mean, I know Dave, he rules. He was calling out some other stuff. He was complimentary. Again, right at the end, another jab at Quentin right there at the end, And he did, like you said, he mentioned, like, since you called me out by name. So it's weird because he's like, oh, you called me out. But then still somehow he's the one doing us a favor. Like, not as though, like, okay, look, I will then decide that it is worthy for me to leave you a voicemail. Almost like it's like, not that he wanted to, but like he only did it because we like begged him for it. That was pretty good. I don't know.
Good point. Okay, I have a major question. Are you guys, archetypally... is Quentin like the WizKid cinephile and you're like
he's the everyman.
You watcher, everyman, you're the straight man compared to
I certainly object to Quentin being a WizKid in any way. he just watches too many movies and then makes me watch the ones that he knows are bad but secretly pretends are good. That's the way I look at it, at least. As far as me being the every single man, I don't know about all that, but I think that maybe I'm more grounded.
Okay.
That's what you mean?
When I had a class with Quentin a couple semesters ago, I found out that he watched a movie every day last year, and I thought that was bananas. I don't think I have the discipline to do that. So, you know, I commend you.
He would tell me, one time I asked him, he said like he'd watched two movies in a day, and I was like, and we were at the store, and I was like, oh my God, like why? And he was like, that's what I do. I like watch movies all the time. And I was like, oh, I guess if you put it like that, that isn't so crazy, but... But, I mean, also, I didn't really realize, honestly, that people valued movies that as much as they do, like, until Quentin, like, he talks about them all the time. He's, like, seen so many of them. It's, like, he does this podcast about them. Like, if I never saw another movie again, I'd probably be all right. And it's so crazy how, I mean, not that I, like, hate them or anything, but, like, they're never the thing I go to. And it's crazy that he, like, has an alarm. He's probably got a Google Calendar set for tomorrow for a movie he's going to watch. Like, that's nuts out of me. Oh, he nodded in an affirmation. Yeah, yeah. That's so, and also we're very different people in general, but like, it's so wild and our tastes are very different. But I can't believe how many movies he watches.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Tie yourself on the back when.
I did it. Yeah, it's the push and pull of our podcast. You know, he hates movies, I love movies. It's a good dichotomy to have when you're discussing hating and loving movies.
I think it's a perfect one.
The podcast.
Is
that all the nominees?
Those are all the nominees. Those are our four nominees for Voicemail of the Year 2020.
How does this work? Do we have to be unanimous? Or is it just majority rules?
I think Elena has the tiebreaker vote. That's why we brought her on.
Okay. I like that. I'll mediate.
So in the chat, I'm gonna say my vote.
I'm having trouble because one of them is very short and much crueler to Quentin. And I like that. And they also signed off at the end. They realized like they maybe had been too mean. So then they said like, good night. And that was good. But Dave's was also, also really good and probably the most encapsulated the most about, if we're talking about the actual podcast, what we do. And what the idea was for me, it has been good to watch movies, even though I'm not that big into them. And that's what, and Dave seemed to really get that. I'm going to go with Leona, though, because she was the meanest to Quentin. Well, Quentin, do you have like a fancy sound? I'm assuming you have a drop.
Take it away.
And the Leo goes to Leona. Congrats, Leona.
On the 2020
voicemail
Leo
of the
for
year.
Voicemail of the year.
I can't believe Leona Lewis called. Just kidding.
Wait, now you have to tell me who Leona Lewis is.
Bleeding Love, a hit, one hit wonder. Well, maybe two hits. Better in Time.
You on a record store?
I don't know what I'm sorry.
These are radio.
Yeah,
hits.
Turns out there's a lot of songs in the world, Quentin.
I guess that's true. Do you want to move on to guest of the year?
You haven't read this? A person holding up a book in a store that has 100,000 books in it. You haven't read this one? You haven't? I'm like, God, dude.
Never heard that one before.
And it's the Bible. All right, continue.
Guest of the year. The nominees are... I don't have a drop for these, so we're just going to go through them.
Yep.
Okay.
Will Cashin, episode 15.
Good old Bill Fashion, yep.
Emily
Osborne. Will you tell me what he talked about?
He talked about Slumber Party Massacre 2.
Okay, so each guest brought a movie.
They tried to split the room.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like they loved it. They just wanted to like...
They maybe loved it or maybe hated it, but they're trying to split the room between the two of us.
Okay. Lovely. Continue. I'm sorry.
So we got William Cashin, episode 15. He mm-hmm. brought Slumber Party Massacre 2. He correctly predicted that I would hate it, but incorrectly predicted that Enoch would love it.
You both hated it.
We both hated it.
I can't remember if I hated it or if I just didn't like it. I don't know, but you're saying I hated it?
I think in the compilation that I made, you hated it. I said I also hated it.
Preposterous movie.
Next up is Emily Osborne, episode 20. She brought the film Blockers. She incorrectly predicted that I would hate the movie, but correctly predicted that Enoch would love the movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, positive. I actually listened to this one, so I'm a little biased.
Third and final nomination, Dine and Tuttle. He brought episode 13. He brought Lair of the White Worm. But he incorrectly thought that Enoch would love it and that I would hate it. We both just came together in the middle on that.
Now, if I recall, was that dynamic was forced upon him and that he really just wanted us to watch the movie?
What was it about?
Or no, maybe he did. I could be wrong.
I think he just chose one, but he wanted to have the movie for the podcast.
An odd horror movie based off of a sort of ancient,
a Scottish English wives' tale.
Mm. Well, I appreciate the energy of, I just want to bring the movie I want to talk about.
We both were like, yeah, that's pretty good. all right. I think the big question here, honestly, is really, since Emily's the only one who got a love, since similar to how I get bonus points if Quentin loves a movie, are we giving bonus points for the guest getting a love as opposed to a hate, correct?
I think there's a certain amount of difficulty to that. That I
And then
appreciate.
Also what's weird is...
A hate could generate more interesting conversation, so I don't think a love is necessarily a better thing.
That's true, too.
That's true. But...
But then you could just bring a movie that we both would hate, and that would be super easy. Because you got
yeah,
the one
like, right. I won't say that, I don't think Bill Fashion necessarily did that, but I think he probably had his back of his mind. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure one of these dudes gonna hate this movie. I just need to be the right one. I don't know. I'm inclined to give Emily the bonus point for getting a love, and it did lead to the discussion that I maintain, that I'll bring up later in this podcast, that we should be judging comedies on a slightly different scale. And that if you really like a comedy, you kind of love a comedy. But that's another thing. But, well, I'll go in the chat, I reckon. But I gotta spell it right. Is that it?
So we have a tie vote. So Elena has to come in and be the tiebreaker.
Well, although everybody contributed greatly, I am going to use my bias here because I have taken a class with Emily and I have been in film club with her. So she is going to take the win for sure. And I like that she did Blockers. I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, pick a great, good great movie. Have goals, have fun.
Are you a, do you hold any position in the film club? I believe she's the current president of the film club.
No, I graduated recently. So I have retired.
Yeah, Quinn's a disgraced former treasurer, I believe.
Secretary.
No, Quinn ran the show. I mean, he was like the MC, honestly.
Secretary / MC.
Right, exactly.
I'm the secretary / MC of defense.
What do they say in Hollywood when you're an actor? You're like, oh, I'm like a slashy or something. Like I'm
a multi-hyphenate. I just do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two things, that's all.
Right.
I'm behind the scenes, I'm in front
of the
scenes.
So Emily won, correct?
Emily won.
Oh. So she won the Leo.
That's
2020 Emily. Leo for Guest of the Year.
Wait, so what's Leo? Why Leo?
Love It Or, which is, and then Hate It Or You Gotta Love It, the podcast. So it's my pseudonym or our pseudonym. It's Leo Higley. If it's an acronym, it looks kind of like a name. And similar to the Oscars being whatever the hell they are, and they call the statue an Oscar, we're calling our statues, don't have statues, but we're calling them Leos.
Oh, those Leos are going to come in the mail, by the way. So Leona and Emily, be looking out for that.
You gotta sign for them.
And you guys also included that I'm also a Leo, so I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's why we had you on.
Mm-hmm. I thought so, too.
What are you, Quentin?
I'm a Scorpio.
Mm. Mm.
And you're a Taurus, I think?
Yeah, I'm a Taurus. I don't believe that astrology is even close to real, but...
But it's fun!
I am a Taurus, yeah.
The one thing I know about Tauruses is that they're stubborn. Are you a stubborn person?
Oh, yeah.
That's not...
I feel like you have opinions, I mean...
No, I don't think that I'm stubborn. In fact, I contend that I'm not even sure I understand what stubbornness is. I think I know what it means. I know what people say when they mean it, but...
I don't know what stubbornness means, so therefore I can't be that.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I've actually had this exact discussion before on a different podcast, which makes me feel insane. But it's like what am I supposed to say? Like, no, okay, no, I don't think what I think. I don't even know like what.
Right. If you said no, I'm not stubborn, I'd be like, okay, well, you're being stubborn.
Right. And then just even exist. Like, never mind. I'm not. Whatever, but also
values is being stubborn, right? Like I don't know. Let's get like philosophical.
I feel like this is a setup. All right, we gave out Leo for voicemail of the year,
for guest of the year.
That was Leona. We gave Leo for guest of the year. That was Emily. What's next?
We're looking at your biggest whiff, your whiff of the year.
Whiff of the year.
And we're gonna talk about these movies a little bit, but why don't you read out what you thought were your biggest whiffs of this year?
My nominees for whiff of the year?
Yes.
My nominees, and for the listener, a whiff is the suggestion I made to Quentin that I felt I missed the worst, correct?
That's correct.
So my nominees for whiff of the year, JFK by Oliver Stone. Groundhog Day. I don't know who made it. I can't remember.
Bill Murray was in it.
Bill Murray.
That's the one.
Brother's Keeper, a documentary by two brothers, I believe. Their names are escaping me. And Cat in the Hat by Dr. Seuss. Those are my nominees for Whiff of the Year.
Okay, did Tim Burton do Cat in the Hat? That's the first person that came to my head.
It's the guy who does production design for a lot of Tim Burton movies. It's not Tim Burton.
It's the guy who makes like the dresser with a tiny drawer on it for the Tim Burton movies. That guy made the whole entire movie, it turns out.
Red Metascore of 19. Bo Welch got it. Okay.
So, JFK, that one I was a whiff because it never occurred to me that Quentin would watch a movie and say, I wish instead that you had assigned me a book report about who actually shot the president, which is kind of what he said. Groundhog Day, I kind of thought, I guess I don't know that there's a movie like that I think gets any better. And so I thought off that merit, I was going to get a big score, a big love on that one. And I don't think Quentin, I think he liked it just fine, but I don't think he even got nearly as close to a love as I.
Day seems like, I've never seen it, but it seems like an everyman would love Groundhog Day.
Well, everybody loves Groundhog Day except Quentin, honestly. I thought it would be like he would be teetering on the edge of love or like really, really liking. And I think you liked it, but he wasn't nearly as enamored with it as I was or I thought he would be. Brother's Keeper is a documentary that I thought was like an amazing human story that we should show to aliens so they don't vaporize us. And Quentin was like, yeah, it was fine.
Will you give me a short premise of that documentary?
It was. It focuses on a very truly bizarre situation. Is it three brothers? Yeah,
that's right.
And they are hermits. They are
four brothers.
Yeah, who are live alone in very bizarre and dire circumstances on their farm in upstate New York. One of them dies, and inexplicably, the district attorney in the nearest town is charging one of the brothers with the murder of the other. The one brother died in his sleep. And it's very interesting and affecting. So no one who's ever watched it doesn't love it except for Quentin. And then the other movie was Cat in the Hat. This is based off of the novel Cat in the Hat by Dr. Seuss. Quentin assigned it as a hate, and he thought it was pretty good.
Well, to even it out, I would say that I would think Quentin the WizKid cinephile would have plenty of things to critique about Cat in the Hat. So, you know, that's the kind of the beauty of this podcast is so, you guys both surprise each other. It kind of keeps the relationship spicy.
I would say, wait, Quentin, do I pick right? I still pick my own biggest whiff, right?
I think I want Elena to pick what she feels is the biggest whiff from the descriptions and from the ones she's watched. But then you're going to reveal who actually gets the Leo.
Oh, so this is like when people make their list for the Oscars, say like who should win is so and so, but who will win is so and so.
I think we're going to post the nominations before. So if you're hearing this, you already filled out your nominations. You're following along at home. You're circling which ones you think are it, and then you're marking it whether it was wrong or correct. We gave the sheets out.
I'll give my take, and then you guys like do it for real.
That's correct.
Correct.
Okay, so out of the two of these, I've seen JFK and Cat in the Hat. Cat in the Hat, I only saw it once, like 15 years ago. That one is pretty, like, I'm pretty like into that one, to pick that one, because like I said, like I thought that there would be so many like things to kind of talk about, but it's kind of twisted of you, Quentin, to be like, I like it. That's good for you. Surprising people. And then JFK, you know, I actually watched that today, and I don't see that as a movie that you would love as on the level that I know you. So I'm going to go with Cat in the Hat. That's, you know, I think that's going to be the popular pick and the best one.
I think the main thing about Cat in the Hat is I wasn't expecting all the great jokes that they had.
I like Mike Myers. I mean, can't get better than Austin Powers. He's brilliant.
Great jokes. Quentin didn't notice it the entire time that the cat was doing a Brooklyn accent. He's like, wait, what? And I was like, yeah.
He was doing tons of accent. He was doing accent work.
All right. The Leo, the 2020 Leo for biggest whiff of the year, goes to Brother's Keeper.
Whoa.
This is the one that actually, like Cat in the Hat, I was like, what's wrong with Quentin? And then with Brother's Keeper, I was like, what's wrong with me? And then I realized that, no, it's still Quentin that's wrong. But I had a moment. And JFK, I knew the length of it and, like, the craziness of it would maybe not help me out. I was like, Brother's Keeper, I thought, was a slam dunk. I was guaranteed a love. It never even occurred to me that he wouldn't love the movie.
And well, so it sounds like a downer, and I feel like really devastating family-based documentaries you're going to automatically, like, give 5 stars. But someone like Quentin's going to find some nooks and crannies to critique.
He did.
What were the critiques?
I can't recall. Too good, I think he said. I don't remember either.
Too iconic. Yeah. I stand so hard.
I think my critique was that the actual filmmaking techniques that they used were very plain, and they could have told the story, like, filmically, they could have told the story in a more interesting way.
Yeah, I recall. I disagree, but I recall. But yeah, that was the one that I honestly felt was the biggest, like, this is guaranteed, and I was, like, flabbergasted. So that is my biggest whiff of the year. Quentin, wait, so who wins the Leo there? You win it, or the movie wins it?
The directors win it. We'll send it. They'll send their Leo in the mail.
Okay. They're going to be thrilled. Wait, so some guy, this is an award to tell me some guy didn't like the movie? This is going to be open the box. What the hell?
Give him something to do, especially if it's a guy that did one documentary.
Sure. I can't remember. They worked with, well, whatever, the Maisleys? Maleses?
I'm not familiar.
All right, Quinn, let me hear your whiff of the year nominees.
Here are my nominees for whiff of the year. American Graffiti. I thought you would love it. Episode 7. Mm-hmm. RoboCop. I thought you would love it. Episode 19. The Thing. I thought you'd love it. Episode 14. Uncut Gems. I thought you'd hate it. Episode 12.
Yeah.
So, Elena, which one of these have you seen?
Uncut Gems. That's it. RoboCop, it's about a robot that's a cop. And The Thing is about Antarctica. There's a monster there, and I don't know what American Graffiti is about, and I need to know, so fill me in.
Teenagers,
little bits. Oh, it's like a teenager, like, kind of coming of age thing. Or
yeah, but it does do a cool thing that it's like a coming of age. It's actually similar to Blockers, in which it's all, like, based around one night, like everything happening in this one night and what's going to happen. But RoboCop, I will say, Quentin, this whole sci-fi or not conversation, Dave, voicemail of the year nominee, came at me hard on Twitter recently when Walt Lilly and I got into it on Twitter about what is or is not, if RoboCop's a sci-fi movie or not. I contend that it isn't, or maybe more so that isn't its defining feature. I had asked if RoboCop pooped or not, because we weren't sure about that, and it appears that though he has both one lung and a brain and, like, one other piece, and though they show him being fed, like, baby shit or something early in the movie, it appears that somehow his robotic machine recycles everything so that he does not poop, and that all whatever goop they feed him, why would you add that? He doesn't have a stomach or colon, they even say that. So he's got a mouth that goes to what? I don't know. That apparently is what, you know, keeps his, like, lubricates his elbows and knees or whatever. Anyway, that discussion led to more about the sci-fi thing. My biggest argument there being that we're closer to making a RoboCop than we are to allowing a RoboCop. Therefore, it is more of a ethical and post-apocalyptic, whatever it is, situation, less of a sci-fi situation.
Sounds like it's more like Black Mirror and not like a...
I have not seen Black Mirror, but it's more like it's just one thing. We didn't have, like, I'm gonna get a bit, like, we didn't have, like, self-driving cars. The guy, like, literally a robotic cop gets into, like, a Ford Taurus and drives off. And, like, if you'd taken the armor off of him, given it to somebody else, it'd been just, I'm not gonna do it. I don't like it sci-fi. It's whatever.
So one more question. That's the only, like, sci-fi element. Is this just this one RoboCop and the rest is like...
And there's also a big droid that's, like, has AI and, like, It doesn't really work and it very fails well, miserably. But it does like shoot a guy to death and like.
Okay. Does it work very well? How is it sci-fi if I say, "Hey, look, we made a spaceship," and when I turn it on, it explodes? That's not sci-fi. You couldn't make the spaceship. That's what I'm, like the thing couldn't even do the thing. It fell down the stairs, dude. Like it doesn't do anything. And like the guy's like holding a motherboard, like, "Oh, I can't get it to stop killing people," and it murders a dude in a boardroom in front of everybody. I feel like I've gotten us off the rails here.
I think biggest surprise of the year.
I hope Dave's listening and screaming. I hope he's in his car shrieking right now.
The RoboCop debate.
So Quentin, what is your thought process on what makes your biggest whiff?
So Uncut Gems, I knew you'd have a strong reaction to it, but I didn't. I honestly went in my head a lot whether you would love or hate it. So I think I was a little unsure about what exactly I was going to do with it, but I wanted to get it in there somehow because I knew it would be a good like podcast movie. But the thing and RoboCop are kind of like occupy the same space for me. Is it's a sci-fi like classic or science related classic.
I'm not even talking about the genre. I thought one of them was a much better movie, like regardless of genre.
The Thing?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like RoboCop has no rewatchability for me, but like The Thing I could probably watch again.
Gotcha.
But you didn't feel strongly about it, The Thing.
I didn't love it. I just thought it was good.
I think the whole debate has ruined your opinion of RoboCop because I thought I remembered you enjoying it fine, or
yeah,
pretty close to it.
Yeah, I thought it was fine, but I wouldn't like want to like rewatching it. There wasn't much. Whereas The Thing, there's like even just the gory stuff is going to be crazy to see again.
But the thing,
is a podcast about talking about something that has already been settled? So
that's true. I mean, I don't plan on watching any movie a second time. So keep that in mind also, Quentin. It's not that devastating of a critique.
The thing about RoboCop and The Thing, though, is that they're kind of a little bit like aside from what I think you usually like in a film. And American Graffiti, to me, was like exactly what you liked in the film and you didn't love it. That's for me why it's on the list for me.
I remember your reaction, and I was surprised at how strongly you reacted. I was like, oh wow, he really thought I was gonna love this movie.
Yeah.
Did you really like it yourself, Quentin?
Yeah, I loved it.
I thought it was good. I thought it was good. I didn't love it. I thought it was good. It was fine. Good movie.
It's kind of like a Magnolia sort of thing where like characters are crossing paths and they're all here. And then it's just like one night and everyone's crossing paths. Everyone's going to decide what they're going to do with the rest of their life. That sort of thing. And I thought Enoch would love that. And, has some great rock and roll music, got a lot of heart to it. And those are things that I think are in the characteristics of the things that are in the love column for you.
Because no one had a full miss. No one had a whiff where they assigned a love and it was hated or vice versa. Like that never actually happened, did it?
I don't think so, no.
Because I think if that happened, it would be like a guaranteed win. Well, I guess it's a loss, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, guaranteed whiff. If I'm like, Quinn's going to love this, and you're like, God, I hated this. I'm like, oh shit. But that didn't happen.
So we are pretty good at our jobs if we didn't do that.
Jobs. Yeah.
Say something about Uncut Gems, Yannick. I think that's the last one we haven't like chatted about.
I think I hated aspects of it. But there's a couple of things that I thought were cool. And I remember I liked a lot of the side characters and stuff.
What did you hate?
The like plot of it and I don't want to say it was cheap, but like the way the stakes were raised sort of more than unrealistically of like him doing certain things like just so preposterous. And then also I thought it was just like a fairly border like basic thriller kind of thing that just happened to have like some more like chic cool element, like as far as like what people think are cool, but I didn't think it was like
that's fair.
I remember saying I thought it was almost like a Jason Statham movie and Quentin got mad at me. I was like, well then I want to see that Jason Statham movie. I was like, all right, fine. There's like a lot of Jason Statham movies.
That's shade. But I just watched Good Time, which is like the other Safdie movie, and the score mm-hmm. definitely just elevates it. It's just this kind of like experimental shit, and it's like nice on the ears, but I can see where it kind of elevates a thing that's just like, this guy just keeps like doing stupid shit, like gratuitously. So I see your point. I enjoyed it. Quentin loves it. Do you love it?
I loved it.
Okay. I liked it plenty. Yeah.
If I remember correctly, Enoch's main gripe was that they did the whole plot again, which I disagreed with. They make the big bet.
It
gets canceled, and then he makes the big bet again, and he hits it. Spoilers for Uncut Gems. Like just
half the movie. Cut in half. Good movie. Man, good. It's fine. I did like those dudes in the guys who bought his ring in the jewelry shop. Those guys were great.
Oh yeah, those guys were good.
All right, who won the Leo, Quentin?
Oh shit. The Leo goes to American Graffiti.
I was thinking that. I was gonna pick that one.
Oh, sorry, we didn't do your prediction.
No. I was
Oh crap.
Remind you after. But you know, it seems like it was a standard Enoch, every man's thing. Richard Dreyfuss. He's like a cool guy.
Yeah, we should hammer this home as your brand. I think it would make the podcast more popular.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you got to market yourself.
The everyman?
Average Joe.
Just the every single man, average Joseph. Boy. I, when you read off the list of nominees, I said, I bet the Leo goes to American Graffiti. Because I do remember Quentin's reaction to me not loving it. I think he's still like, oh, bull, like, come on.
I don't think it's bad.
Hey, bud. Play it back. Quentin, edit it in and put it in right here. I really liked it a lot.
Don't give me this. I know you loved it.
I didn't love it.
The way you talk about it.
No, I didn't.
The way you talk about it. It's in.
Sick.
Now we're talking about Enoch's Most Loved.
And this is of the movies you assigned me that I loved. What did I love the most?
That's correct. Correct?
All right, the nominees are...
Someone said you would love them. Could be a guest, too.
Okay. The nominees are Parasite, Hunt for the Wilder People, Midnight Cowboy, Blockers. I was going to ask if Blockers was allowed to be counted or not.
Blockers is allowed to be counted.
Totally.
I referenced this earlier, the idea of watching a movie again. Suggesting movies is another thing I use as a metric when deciding about loving stuff. Also thinking about them a lot. So Parasite got a love because of how much time I spent thinking about it afterwards. Wilder People, part of it was that I would like suggest that movie to almost anyone to watch. Midnight Cowboy, I thought the characters that they created were amazing. And then Blockers was actually really, really funny. And since it's a comedy, that means that you loved it. I don't know that a movie can get love of the year if I have to sort of admit there's a slightly different scale to give it that love of the year. So that'd be Blockers.
I mean, love is such a different definitions.
And though I liked Midnight Cowboy, it sort of caught in between the two of the things, between Parasite and Hunt for the Wilder People. So for me, it really comes down to Parasite and Hunt for the Wilder People. Oh, wait. Did I just mess up if Lana's going to guess?
No, you just made it easier.
Yeah. Okay. I think I haven't seen Hunt for the Wilder People, and I do sympathize with, like, I have certain movies that maybe aren't my favorites, but I love to tell people to watch. And when they watch them and come back to me, I mean, it's like ecstasy. So I definitely sympathize with you there. But I do appreciate your appreciation for Parasite. And I also, that was a movie where I wished I was smart enough to not have to open YouTube up after and Google Parasite Explained and like watch a 15-minute video and be like, okay, now I love it even more. So I'm going to go with Parasite.
Okay. The winner of the Leo.
Oh, should I do the drum roll?
Sure. Oh, does it keep going the whole time? Oh, there. Good Lord. Is Hunt for the Wilder People.
Whoa.
Because I loved it. I'd never heard of it. I didn't know anyone who was in it, except that the Jurassic Park guy. And
Richard Dreyfuss? Just kidding.
And I'm going to suggest it to a bunch of people. And we'll probably watch it with the oldest of our girls, not the youngest, but like be able to watch it with them, and I think they'll really love it. And Parasite, though I had not seen it, and actually the spoiler had not been spoiled for me, I knew that it was a big deal movie to watch and like pay and like know what it is. Whereas Hunt for the Wilder People literally came out of nowhere for me. I'd never even heard of it. And when Quentin told me the title, I was perplexed. So that one, in a weird way, gets a bonus from how many people I would suggest it to and will watch it and can watch it. And then it gets bonus for like, I had nothing, no expectations.
That's an indie darling.
Whereas like Parasite, I was like, all right, am I going to love this? Before we even started it. Like, I wonder if I'm going to love this movie. Whereas with Hunt for the Wilder People, I was like, well, I have no idea. And then it turned out to be great. So...
spoiler of Parasite. I mean, just what it's about?
No, the folks in the dungeon.
Okay.
That there was the dad being underneath or whatever. I knew there was like something going on. And it wasn't as like spoilery as like, oh, it turns out it was this guy. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a full on whodunit, but that there was something. I knew there was something.
I feel like part of the spectacle of Parasite was like, most people were like, don't look anything up before you watch it. You need to just go into it raw and not know anything. And that kind of adds to the intrigue. And it's kind of like, fuck you. Tell me what it's about. Like,
ooh, see, I'm the opposite. I want to know nothing.
I think it was good to go in. I don't disagree. But
the title is...
I don't like to be told what to do. So
all I want is title. I don't even want cast. This goes with everything, though. Like, sports is like a big one for me. Everyone's like, dude, did you watch the game? And I'm like, this is already too much. Like, now I know.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I don't want to know anything. All right. So now, Quinn, do you do hate or your love, or do I do my, how do we do this?
I'm about to do love, but I wanted to have one last thought about your most loved. I think for you, the Hunt for the Wilder People was like the one where you didn't think about it at all, where you just watched the movie and you enjoyed it and loved it the whole way through. And then Parasite had that thing where you couldn't stop thinking of it afterwards, and that's what made you love it. And I think for you, like, that rewatchability, that enjoying it in the moment is what like sets a love apart even further.
Yeah, and it's certainly the intention of Parasite is to like make you think the whole time,
for sure,
or it to be a kind of thinking movie or whatever. But yeah, I think you're right. I think I even had like with Wilder People, I had very few notes, and I was like, I think I just watched this the whole time, kind of stopped taking notes. All right, look, that's the Leo, Hunt for the Wilder People.
Congrats to them.
But now, Quentin, do you alternate? So now you're going to do your hate of the year, or are you going to do your love of the year?
I'm going to do my love of the year.
All right.
Okay.
I don't really how the show goes, but that's fine.
Okay. Love it, or hate it, you got to love it. Podcast. My nominees for most loved are In Cold Blood, episode 10. Stevie, episode 16. Those are the nominees.
Okay. Interesting. You did two. Cool.
Well, only had two, I think, to choose from.
Yeah.
Because he refuses to admit that he loves movies, like Brothers Keeper, for example.
And I have seen neither, so I'll need a little plot synopsis and like why you loved it so much. In Cold Blood is Truman Capote, right? That's all I know. It's about murder.
Yep.
That's correct. It's a thriller. It's based on a real life home invasion that these two guys do. They think they're going to get a lot of money from this heist, I guess, and end up killing people in the process. And it's sort of like a character study into each of their psyches and what makes them do the things that they do. Stevie was a more... I mean, In Cold Blood sounds serious talking about it just then, but I think Stevie was our most serious movie. It's about a troubled adult with mental health issues who the documentary maker or the filmmaker had as a little brother in the Little Brother program. And it's sort of him... He couldn't be there for him as a little brother because he had to go and do like live his own life. And then he comes back to him and sees how messed up his life has gotten. Being left behind and sort of reckoning with that. Those are the best way I can synopsize those in under a minute.
I already know the winner.
I want to know why you love both. Sorry. So the Stevie sounds like it was very like thought-provoking and upsetting, and I've never thought about what happens after the like short stint at Little Brothers and Little Sisters. So like that would be
That movie is incredibly gnarly. That's like the most difficult movie to watch that I think I've probably ever seen. I haven't seen all of them, but
I think probably for
like
me
a
as
ton
well
of that kind of thing. But it was like, you really have to sort of consider, like what kind, like. I remember watching it being like, I wouldn't do any of this. I'm not going to pretend that I'm the kind of person that would like look for the good. I would have already turned and left 100 times. It's, I don't know. And then also on top of that, with a movie of like that line between when you're telling a story in which someone does not in any way, though they look very human, they do not look good. There's that line of like exploitation and storytelling and like documenting, but does it help anyone? I don't know. It's gnarly, but it's, I thought it was amazing, but not necessarily the thing that you give out awards to as often, I'll say.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's no category for like most fucked up story that's actually real. That was like affecting people. And this is not just you being sad about it for a second. It's like, this is somebody's fucking life.
Yeah, for sure.
I think a documentary gets points for going where other documentaries haven't gone before and going deeper than anyone has ever gone before. And that's why this is nominated. And that's why I loved it.
Okay.
In Cold Blood is more, it's like a classic thriller that just had like a little bit of everything. It looked amazing. The performances were so good. Like those main two actors like really portrayed those characters really well. And like they brought this like the real story to life in a way that I feel like doesn't happen in a lot of real stories. I'm gonna wait. Elena, do you have a pick from these two?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to go with Stevie because yeah, Stevie for sure.
Okay. And Leo goes to In Cold Blood.
I fucking knew it. I hate you. Cool, fine. Good for you.
I'm sorry.
I In Cold Blood was that crazy thing where I read that book. I thought the book was absolutely amazing. But the movie was that thing where I'm trying to think how to I don't know other examples. I'm not good at this kind of thing. Where okay. Like the kind of movie that the like indie directors that you love make, except if they said like, oh, and you have as much money as you want to make it. Like as far as like the sort of like it's that kind of story, and then they have all the resources as far as filmmaking, and I don't know if there was like stars in the movie because that wasn't really the intent, but like with regard to casting and things, it was like. It was like it's like the top flight indie movie, but if it had just not that there's a lot of expensive things in it, but it's like it just had all it did. There was nothing holding it back. It could just do whatever it wanted to, and it went to that this insane level where, we talked about it, but like they filmed in the actual home where the actual crimes took place. Like it went to another level that was like pretty, like,
yeah, it adds kind of a
was just like almost shocking. Where it's like, wow, really, you just went where they got killed and you just filmed it there? Like,
I guess it's the most accurate is to go there.
It's like what you were saying with JFK where they like got like the hospital exactly right. It's like everything with In Cold Blood.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Had like the fine details of the original story. Maybe not the how it went down was a little bit different, but they got all of the details right. And it makes the whole story so much more watchable and enjoyable.
Yeah. It kind of makes me look down on a director that like takes a true story and then just like I'm just gonna make it however I want it to and make it as like salacious or like full of hot people or I don't know, like something like raunchy or something, like just because it's like it's my movie and I can like adapt it to whatever I want to. It's kind of like maybe like honor somebody else for once.
The thing that also I get that tricks me out about that idea too is like, I mean, they're already in the theater, right? Like, you got to get them there. They don't know, like, no one's going to say like, hey, I was going to see that, but then it turns out that they film the events as they as in the real way they happened. Like, no one knows that, right? Like, so just like, like just do it. Like, do it the other way. Like, do it the better way. That instead of doing it the bad way, because no one knows, no one's gonna know anyway. Like, just do it the good way. That's not, I'm not explaining it very well, but
fair enough. I mean,
it's like, okay, let's say you had like an ingredient for like pizza, right? And both of them tasted the exact same, but one of them was like kind of poison. It's like, you would just put the good one in. Like, why even, why bother with the poison one?
Yeah, and the average person isn't like going on IMDb trivia after, and it's like, oh, it was filmed in the same place. Like, yeah, it's gratuitous, like, but it's cool. I mean, you know.
Yeah, neat. It's sick. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that, Quentin. That was also the rare one where I had read the book, but I had not yet seen the movie. So I assigned it kind of blind, but I knew how good the book was and that this was made like right after the book, and it was made with full cooperation, or not at the time, full cooperation of the author. So I was guessing that, like, you know, this book was amazing. I'm going to guess that the movie is good too. And it worked out. And it won an award. Can you believe it? It won a Leo, man.
Yeah. Good for them.
I think that guy's dead, so it'll be passed on to its his next of kin.
Yeah. Posthumous.
Posthumous, yeah. It's always sad when they win the award. Hey, I made a joke one time when Van Morrison was putting out a record about how Corona is fake or whatever. And I said the first Priestrimus album. Because I was hoping he was going to die. So anyway, here's the...
The Mandela guy for me, I thought he was dead.
I mean... You know, fingers crossed. I guess I shouldn't say that. But he's such a butthole. I mean, he's not even... Well, all right. The Leo for hate of the year?
Enix most hated.
Is that what we're calling it?
Here we go. I'm excited.
These have been, these are the, these are what we've been building up to.
I love talking shit.
Nominees are... Hackers, Eraserhead, Wiener Dog, and Climax.
This is easily the hardest one for me yet.
Those are the official nominees for Hate of the Year, Enix Most Hated. It runs the gamut here as far as genre.
And why you hate them.
Yep. And then, well... I hate them. I hated them all for different reasons. The one that, looking back on, like, I know why I hated Climax.
Mm-hmm. Let's elaborate.
And it was because it was so bad, and that it wasn't even a movie. And I also thought that Quentin gave it like an enormous amount of credit for like some okay dancing. And in fact, they did the same dancing a bunch, and when that made me mad too, because like, oh, you choreographed one dance, that's a whole movie. And no one acted rationally, no one acted like a real person. There were no real people, no characters were likable. The only bummer was that everyone didn't die. It was such a bad movie. And considering it's a movie about music, I didn't like the music. And it had this like bogus kind of like reveal at the end, like, oh, but except it was so lame. Yeah, fine. Everyone stopped caring who dosed the punch like an hour ago, dude. He made a big deal about it. It was like a really long shot. I was like,
Yeah. I'm not surprised that Quentin likes it, because you actually like enjoy filmmaking, and I like just film watching. So I can understand where you have a little bit more like reverence for the long takes. Sounds like it's kind of hard to do, whatever. I was a dance kid. I love dancing. That first sequence, like, that was fucking sick. Like, the first part where they're just dancing, I love that. Voguing is sick. The crumping, I can see where it's off-putting to the layman, but I appreciate crumping for its art. I'm never going to attempt it myself. I also watched it today while I was working from home, so it was even more bleak, and I was, like, nauseous, and it kind of fucked up my day, so that was not sick. Good. And I also have done LSD, and it was nothing like that. It was fantastic and thought-provoking, and this is just giving it a bad rap.
I didn't see it's giving LSD a bad rap coming into play. But I agree. The opening dance was, like, pretty cool. I was like, oh, this is cool, choreographed dance, and it, like, looked cool. And it did that thing where it was choreographed, but it wasn't, like, to the like to the nth degree, so it just looked like they were dancing still.
It was very
it had a real feel to it.
Yeah, but then when they kept dancing, they just repeated most of that except separately. And then they did that classic thing. We got to see dancing the way we always want to see dancing, which is looking directly at the top of someone's head as they dance inexplicably. Like, what are we doing here? All right. Bad movie, awful movie. Wiener Dog, I remember finding out only when we were talking about it that it was a comedy. And what's funny is I so missed that it was a comedy that can't be good. Someone's like, oh, that was a comedy.
It's a black
a
comedy.
A lot of the performances I thought were really bad. I thought there were some performances that were really, really bad in that movie. And some characters that I really didn't enjoy and made no sense. And it broke a total rule of whatever the hell the rules are, which is that the whole point of the movie is that we're following these unconnected people, except their connection is this wiener dog. Except they just skip ahead and put the wiener dog in someone else's arms, and we don't know how or why it got there. And
we don't see the pass off.
There wasn't one. It was just like, oh, now we're just talking to these people. And it's like, well, anyone, whatever. That was stupid. Eraserhead, again. Eraserhead. It also, a similar thing where there are things that like I think we're supposed to laugh at, and I didn't laugh at. One of them.
Head. I don't know her. Sorry.
Quentin had one that was terrible, which was that he was like, you didn't laugh when. And I remember the scene, and it was like when he says, oh, you really are sick. And I was like, I think something's wrong with Quentin, because that was gross, and I didn't think it was even supposed to be funny. And then he kept telling me stuff about the movie that was supposed to make it good, and it was like, no, but like David Lynch like gave him money afterwards. And I was okay.
Wait, so the main guy?
Like, oh, wow. So he gave him, paid the actors. That's sick. And he's like, no, but, and then also, I'm like, oh, and I don't give a shit. And it's got nothing to do with it.
My point there was like, it was an art school film, and it wasn't like he paid them as much as he could during that time, and then like went out of his way to pay them like points off the net, afterward.
Okay,
since it was way more successful than they thought it would be.
But also irrelevant to the film.
Yeah,
I mean that's just something I thought that was cool on top of what I thought was cool about the movie. It's just a little background.
Right, but if we were doing Love It or Hate It and you assigned me David Lynch, then okay. But like the guy.
Love him or hate him, you got to love him.
And then Hackers. Hackers I thought was sucked and perhaps committed the worst crime of all these movies, which was being incredibly boring. And I was who's got a tattoo? Someone's got a tattoo that Quentin knows of this movie. The tattoo actually sounds kind of cool, though the movie is awful.
Wait, what's the tattoo? Like the motherboard or something?
It's a floppy disk with the word Zero Cool above it, I think.
Oh, okay. I like that. I loved Hackers. I didn't think I was going to like it. I loved it. I gave it 4 stars.
Unbelievable.
It was so much fun. I had the best time watching it. Everybody's dressed like it's 2020. That's how everybody in Euphoria dresses.
Old is new again, yeah.
And it made no sense. I mean, no, they're getting stoned in a pizza planet where they're like doing arcade games. That doesn't exist. They're fucking all like 16, 17. My biggest thing I didn't like that I want to talk about was plot-wise, there was a hole. The new guy, sick boy, walks into the school. He doesn't know where the fuck he's going. He asks the one guy on the phone where the classroom is. It was filled with people. Why would you ask the one guy on the phone? But it's another hacker. But
classic
I just was watching it and I was like, I know this guy's going to be some like buddy in the clique or something. And that's why he picked him. But it was like, you're going to pick the one guy on the phone.
I didn't like a lot of it.
You have to look past those things to enjoy something like this. And I loved Matthew Lillard in it. I loved him.
I can understand someone saying that he did a good job of being like awful to watch. But like the idea that someone's like that he's a beloved character, I can't even understand.
I found it endearing. I mean, it was like he just took it to the okay. This movie is high camp. Camp is huge. I think this movie is high camp. I think it's time that we turn it around and bad movies are good.
So this is another confusing thing. Was any of that stuff you like about it even remotely intended?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was like a...
I feel like they thought they made a good movie, and now you're like, no, this movie sucks so hard, it's great.
It was like Tower of Terror. Like, you're just, you're like, oh, I did, you know, this is all kind of throwing me for a loop.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster ride.
Having a good time. And someone from Succession was in it, so...
He, like, hacks into, like, a battleship, and it, like, and it's like, would you like to capsize battleship? Click yes or no. And it's like, what are we talking about?
I got that the one guy was a double agent. But I also just watched Sopranos, so I liked that Dr. Melfi was in it, and we got to see her be evil. So that was cool.
Okay.
Have you seen The Sopranos, Enoch?
I started watching it like when it came out, like because I'm old and I saw it on HBO. And then I went to college and didn't have HBO, and I never saw it again. And Rachel and I have been intending to start again from the beginning, like since we started dating, like 12 years ago. Haven't quite gotten around to it. But we're going to do it someday. I have HBO Maximum now. I believe I'll do it someday.
Yeah, I recommend it highly.
Climax, Wiener Dog, Eraserhead, Hackers.
Elena, what's your pick?
Oh, wait. Yeah, Elena, what is your pick for my most hated?
It's between Wiener Dog and Climax. I am a dachshund lover till I die, and I will never watch this movie ever. My sister told me, my sister is, she likes...
Oh, you're the forum poster on the dachshund lovers website that we covered in that episode.
Absolutely am, yeah. She likes, my sister likes Nerissa, shout out to Nerissa. She loves like Todd Solondz, and she likes all these like wacky directors. And she was like, I was gonna watch this movie thinking it was gonna be cute because this Wiener Dog and Danny DeVito was in it, but... He was like, Elena, you do not put it on. Do not watch it. Do not watch it.
She got punked.
Yeah. And she also was suggesting I watch Climax for the longest time. But that one actually like made me viscerally nauseous. There are some movies that you can do visceral with that are like good, like Yorgos Lanthimos. But this was just like...
Shout out the Lobster.
Yes. The Killing of a Sacred Deer. Like I had to mute it at the end because I was like so fucking like on edge. This one I just wanted to not look at it the entire time. It was horrible. Climax.
Lobster didn't make the list because I did like the ending, though I hated the movie. I thought that was a thing that was like I picked the worst of the worst of these movies that Quentin inexplicably likes.
For sure.
Your guess was Climax. And similar to the way for most bands their first album is their best album. Climax is the winner for most hated movie of the year, which was the first episode of the first movie. And this is the one where I, in my notes, three different times, this podcast was a mistake. Why are we doing this podcast? What have I done?
I rethought everything about like liking films because there's some that you just need to check off. And I knew I needed to check that one off. And I was like, why did I do that?
Terrible, terrible, awful.
Well, you know, first thought, best thought, you hit it out of the park first time. I gotcha.
You got you. I'm whatever.
It's a cool movie.
The Leo went to Climax.
So Gaspar Noé, you're getting a Leo.
Oh, D word challenge, Gaspar. I'm on to you.
What'd he say?
I said D word challenge to Gaspar Noé.
I don't know what a D-word challenge is.
D-word, I'm just saying, like, die.
Ah.
I think he's a troll. I just think he's a troll.
Yeah, this was a Double Dog Dare movie. This was a stupid movie. And when people would like, dude, but the dance scene was so amazing. I was like, it was fine. But, like, you can see lots of better dancing, lots of different places. If you want the, like, hyper choreographed, that exists. If you want... the less so that's more, you know, freestyle that exists. And if this movie had kept... I'm like, I can't believe I'm talking about this movie again.
Honestly. No, I want to go on after it a little bit too.
Because it could just be like... I would have liked seeing them dance if they just did more like of just dancing, where they're like casually dancing. And instead it was always like, hang on, everybody back up. It's time for each one of us to take a turn dancing in front of you. Like... it was so whack. What a whack ass movie.
Like a domestic terrorist went to art school. And yeah, like 4chan just kind of radicalized him. And now he wants to make this movie where he wants to make everybody like do the worst things ever.
He probably funded it through 4chan. I don't know who this director is, but he probably was like, guys, got to go fund me making a cool flick.
I don't disagree with that take. I just think it's a fun movie.
It's a fun one too. It's certainly polarizing.
Yeah.
I'm glad you like it, Quentin. Good for you.
What do you like more, Climax or Cat in the Hat?
Climax for sure.
I just wanted to. I mean, he likes them both. So,
how many times have you watched it, Quentin?
Twice.
I'll never watch it ever again. Yeah. Okay, moving on. I guess.
All right, let's go to your. What's your most hated film of the year, Quentin?
The last award we have to give out today. My most hated films. The nominees are Demolition Man, Episode 7. Home Alone 3, Episode 21. Road Trip, Episode 17. Young Einstein, Episode 19.
It's weird because two of those movies are good.
Road Trip and Demolition Man. Do what?
I've seen none. So my guess is going to be pretty, I don't know. I'm going to maybe like flip a coin or something.
One of my concerns is coin. That...
Yes, I think that too.
One of them had like... One of them could be described as offensive. Where, like, not like, oh, it was so bad it offended me, but like actually had like some offensive like thoughts in it.
And you're talking about...
I think
like problematic...
Yeah, Demolition Man is the movie that, like, there was one overt racist joke that was made in the film, and then it's sort of ethos, which I also did not even notice, and I thought it was, like, fine. Quentin was, like, incensed by it, but I also took it in a different fashion. I thought it was going for ultra bland. It was going for homogeny, whereas Quentin was, it was taking a stance that in the future world, it wasn't that we have gotten boring, is that we had gotten like it was demasculated. And he's probably not wrong, but just through my eyes, when I saw it, I thought they were going like, oh, everyone's wearing gray because like that's the most boring option. And they're wearing like not dresses, not pants. It was almost like a
like sexless.
Yeah.
It was like a kimono type thing. But it was like all
gray. I thought I was going for like a monoculture, whereas his point, again, probably more accurate to what they were actually thinking, was they were going for a like, hey, look at what happens if we demasculate ourselves, we'll end up like these losers. That was sort of their stance.
You're canceled, Demolition Man.
So I've got some concerns about what ends up, and also a movie I like and think is good. So
I think Wesley Snipes in that movie, he plays the bad guy. Very great performance from him. Loved his lines.
And some fire fits as well. Quentin loved the way he was dressed.
Oh, yeah. He off the chain his fits.
He's dressed, like, so absurdly. It's can't even be, like, not even one piece of clothing is something I would consider putting on.
Like, he wouldn't look out of place in Hackers. That's the vibe.
No, the guys in Hackers would be like, whoa.
TikTok girl with a mullet. Like, I love that.
Like, look at this guy's fit. This is crazy. Do y'all see this guy? That's what Zero Cool would say about him.
Nice.
The next one we have to talk about, Home Alone 3, does not have the same kid or Chris Columbus or John Williams. It's Elena, are you familiar with the film Max Keeble's Big Move?
I am.
Is that kid but younger?
Okay, yeah, no, he's Max Keeble, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, so no, sir, I'm very sorry. You actually are only Max Keeble. So you're saying that disqualifies him. Well, I guess did he do anything else after Max Keeble?
I think he sort of fell off after he was a child actor.
What was his, I think I did look him up. What was his name again? I'll look it up. Never mind.
It's Max.
Keeble.
R. Haha.
That's not a documentary.
Yeah.
That's a good bit, Max Keebler. He lives in a tree.
He's an elf. So it was, hang on, Demolition Man, Home Alone 3.
My main problem with Home Alone 3 was that it took all of the things that were good about the Home Alone movies and just copy-pasted it without any of, like, any of the performance. Like, they just, like, did, like, the raw, like, what they had to do and just, like, went through it. Like, none of it was fun. There was inexplicably, like, a terrorist plot involved instead of, like, these small-time, like, thieves, like the Wet Bandits.
Yeah, like, petty.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were stealing, like, rockets, and they were selling them to North Korea, I think, actually.
Yeah.
it was actually really bad. Now, I have a question, Quentin. Did Did it get any bonus points because it had some dude from Twin Peaks or something in it?
No, that guy sucked.
Ooh, wow.
Who was the guy from Twin Peaks?
It's like a minor character. It's the shut-in guy from season two.
I need to rewatch Twin Peaks.
He has like Laura's secret diary. It's not important, but
now
a lawnmower falls on his head and he has like a sideways mohawk in like three places.
It's not hitting. It's not hitting.
How does Roger Ebert's opinion of the film affect your ranking or its award viability, Quentin?
It doesn't affect it, but it did incense me. I did hate his reaction to the movie as much as Gene Siskel, because he thinks it's the best Home Alone movie there is.
Roger Ebert thinks that?
Yeah.
He said Home Alone 3 was the best one.
He gave it a 3 out of 4, I think.
And he said it empowered children. And I'm not kidding.
Empowered children, that's what he said?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a spot in the movie where one of the people trying to steal the rocket ship coordinates so they can send nuclear weapons to North Korea, he like trips and falls and shoots a hole. He's got a gun. He shoots a hole in a sewage pipe and Dookie juice sprays all over his face and in like his open mouth.
Not Dookie juice.
Yeah, and it's like, this is the and then Ebert's like, yep, more empowering of children. Good idea, guys.
I think he also said believe, like it wasn't
that's
as
the hottest
as
take
it
I've
was.
Ever heard.
That yeah, that's it, I don't know.
Which also
it is. He is honestly the only people besides Max Kepler or whatever who thinks that Home Alone 3, Keebler, is the best Home Alone movie. No one else thinks that. The guy who made it is like, dude, I really missed it on this one. And Roger Ebert's like, best of the three. Job well done.
Speaking of like sequels and like how the directors like resent it, have you heard about George Miller, the guy that did Happy Feet? And someone asked him in an interview, like, what if you would do Happy Feet 3? And he was like, I would shoot myself in the head before I do Happy Feet 3.
I don't think I've seen Happy Feet. I believe it is a penguin.
Yes, and he tap dances. That's if you want to see good dancing, as a former tap dancer, that one was very good.
Wait, is it a real penguin that dances or an animated penguin?
It's an animated penguin that dances, but Savion Glover, like easily probably the best tap dancer in the world, did the tapping. So it's like really good.
Oh, so someone did tap and then they animated the penguin doing the tapping.
Yes, does yeah, penguin, I don't know how they do it.
Does
Movie
he wear
back.
Shoes?
No, it's just his like feet. He's barefoot.
And since they're doing it on the ice, it makes the tap dance sounds.
Yes, and the premise is all of the penguins like learn how to sing well really quick, and the main guy is shitty at singing, but they, he
hatched wrong or something.
Yeah, it's a whole reckoning. He's an outcast, but he's brilliant.
It's weird to call him feet when talking about a penguin.
Oh, okay, feet. That's interesting because yeah, like it's not like the same as the hands.
Talons.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I don't like that one.
They're webbed.
It's a dry bird.
I mean, they're still feet, but it's weird that it's like, because you think like, oh man, does this dude have like feet, like straight up feet, like toes?
Yeah, and I mean, they do look like mammalian. Interesting quandary there.
Hmm. All right, Quentin?
Young Einstein was the one we hadn't talked about yet. So the one about this, it's just very stupid. It's a very stupid movie. This guy from Australia says anyone could be Einstein. I could be Einstein, and plays a movie where he's an Australian version of Einstein. He meets Marie Curie. He goes and wins the Science Academy Awards and does a bunch of other like stupid shit.
No, it's a serious film.
It's a serious film. The director and actor who's in it is named Yahoo Serious.
Wow. That's very like
he did the score as well.
Every year, Supreme, Vermin Supreme.
Yeah.
Oh right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That sort of vibe, I think, is Australian Vermin Supreme.
That's like a hacker name too, Yahoo Serious.
Quentin, did you write in Zero Cool this year when you voted?
Yeah.
Or did you stick with Kanye? I remember you telling me you were with Kanye.
I don't think you can divulge that on the podcast, but
did you think it was really funny when people pointed out that Kanye West's wife was very public in the fact that she voted for Joe Biden? And they were like, yo, he didn't even win the election in his house.
Funny.
And I was like, that's good. That's got to burn, right? If you're like, wow, nobody knows me better. She still didn't vote for me.
And it's pretty bad when he's the first person to concede
Yeah, like I didn't make it this year.
Elena, what All do right. you think is my most hated of the year?
I think you feel the most passionately about Home Alone 3. I think that's the hill you would die on, or I think that if someone made you do that to live or die, explain why it sucks, I think you could do it. So yeah.
And the Leo goes to Young Einstein.
Yeah, baby. Just kidding. I knew I was gonna get whiffed.
I thought it might happen because that was also the most boring one, where you're just in there like, I just want this to be over. It wasn't even...
I think talking about it sounds exciting.
Also, there's a music video for a Bob Seger song at the end.
I think my main problem is about it is like it's so like I think you said it best, Enoch, when you said your kids watched this movie and like maybe got like... some like misremembered like some facts about history because this movie is so far from the truth from like the real Einstein and like what like really went into like science. Like I think this movie is like an anti-intellectual movie. Like,
yeah, they're like, is Einstein from Australia? And I was like, no. They're like, did he invent surfing? I was like, no. Like, wait, did he invent rock and roll? I was like, no, none of this is true. Please don't think this.
Yeah, and, I think it made the world like a worse place. I think it made people dumber
that
to watch
video
it.
At the end.
And maybe Australians feel different, but that's how I feel.
And that was one I had assigned exclusively off of the fact that I knew I loved it as a kid, but had no memory of the actual film at all. I just knew that I was like, oh, I know I like this. And, well, I wasn't very smart.
Yeah, it's like opening your eyes for the first time.
I was like, I didn't know what I was thinking when I was 7. Well, that's the Leo for
most hated
2020 for Quentin's most hated film of the year.
Yeah, who's serious? Check your mail.
Congrats to him.
Oh, actually, check your mail in like 6 weeks.
Shipping to Australia.
Check your Yahoo inbox. Yeah. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, he sued them. Not kidding.
He did?
Yeah, because he said that he had the name first, and he did. But they were like, "Shut up! It's like a sound. It's an onomatopoeia. You can't do that." And then a judge was like, hey, guy who made one movie 11 years ago, I don't think anyone's going to confuse and think that it's your website called Yahoo.
Yeah, if I was the lawyers defending Yahoo, I'd just be like, shut up.
Yeah, you would think he would have... he obviously... We also learned he's fallen on some harder times, so I don't want to rub salt in the wound, so maybe we shouldn't send that award for most hated movie to him. I feel like that would be...
He deserves a documentary.
Punching down on that one.
For sure. I would watch a documentary about Yahoo.
Like a documentary that makes him like changes the impression on him and it makes people feel bad for him and love him.
Real quick before we move on from the official 2020 Leos, late breaking news. Rachel, having seen not every single movie that Quentin has assigned me or that I have assigned, but close to it, she just gave me her awards. These are obviously unofficial, but.
Goody.
Her top hate. Home Alone 3.
Okay.
And her top...
Okay.
Her top love, she doesn't know this, but we agreed, Hunt for the Wilder People.
Whoa.
Oh, that's so fucking cute.
Right? So yeah, it worked out. We disagreed. She watched Climax. I don't know what she's thinking, saying Home Alone 3 was worse, but that's okay. Maybe she blocked it out of her memory. Actually, she also has the option. She'll be like, I'm not into this, and she'll go to sleep. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll just sit here and take notes about this shit-ass movie that Quentin made me watch.
I want to repress that movie so quickly.
Well, bad news. Climax 2 coming to theaters 2022.
Even climaxier.
Even more climactic.
Well, you could actually...
Yeah.
They just put 2 X's. That's all they did.
Oh, yeah. And with a K this time.
Well, is that it? Is that the 2020 Leos?
Yeah.
You know, like all award shows, it just goes by so fast. You do all this like anticipation for it. You're kind of picking things and taking so much time and sweet thought into it, and just like that, it's done.
I think we should give it an award for best perpetual guest, best host. Just be me, and then Quentin would win best host. All right, 2020 Leos. The official winners were voicemail of the year, Leona, people guest of the year.
Sorry about that.
Emily. Emily was guest of the year, right? Yeah, voicemail is Leona. Guest of the year is Emily. Biggest whiff of the year for me was Brother's Keeper. Biggest whiff of the year for Quentin was American Graffiti. My most loved was Hunt for the Wilder People. My most hated was Climax. Quentin, your most loved was In Cold Blood, and your most hated was Young Einstein.
So I hope you followed along in your little check boxes that we printed out for you. And I hope you got like 80% right. That's a normal amount.
We should look at the numbers and see if you can actually get that number based off of.
You guys should watch the David Lynch one next, the short film.
Oh, yeah. The one about the monkey where he's talking to the monkey. Yeah. What did Jack do?
What did Jack do?
I don't watch any movies that Quinn doesn't assign me. Unless Quinn assigns it to me, I'm not watching anything ever again.
It's a little more palatable.
People actually like talk and like do stuff and have a conversation.
Yeah, people talk and do stuff and you like kind of get for the most part. I got like 60% of it, so.
You said there was a monkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're chatting. David Lynch and him are chatting.
I think I told that story in the pod when my dad ordered the monkey through the mail when he was a kid.
What? How?
It was like in the back of a comic book. It was like mail $10 and they mailed him a wooden crate with a monkey.
Are you fucking with me? Fuck you.
No, I'm that serious. This would have been like 1960. Well, my dad was born in 1950. In 1960, between 1959 and 1962.
You could just mail monkeys in the 60s, I guess.
They mailed him a wooden crate with a monkey, showed it to his front porch in Kinston, North Carolina. Monkey went crazy and like threw monkey shit over the house and tore stuff up. And my grandpa killed it. True story, sadly.
How? Like with the gun?
No, I believe he hit it with something.
Not that it matters, but that's
sad. Nah, but it was on top of the refrigerator when he like came home. He worked like nights at the time, and he came home from like his night shift, and it pounced onto his dinner plate from behind. It was hiding on top of the refrigerator, and I think that was the final straw, I'm told.
What was his name?
That I don't know. I never knew the name.
R.A.P. King.
Yeah. But also, and it was like, I don't know exactly what, it wasn't like a chimpanzee, obviously, but like it was some little tiny monkey. I don't know which one, but I'm assuming whatever was the most in vogue tiny monkey you could mail to people at the time.
Now for me,
Richard Pryor has a good bit about monkeys.
I love watching monkey videos, so I can't imagine having a monkey that you can just see in real life.
There's a monkey on TikTok, George, that I love dearly.
I think I've seen the monkey.
You think you forget that, like, if you give a monkey a package, it's gonna like unwrap it and open it like normal, and you're like, "What the fuck,
dude?" There's that monkey, that guy who had a foster monkey or some shit, and he and his wife went to go visit it, and it turned on him and it tore off his nards and his left foot.
Oh my god, we're turning into Joe Rogan right now.
It like twisted his whole damn foot off and ripped his balls off.
Welcome to the Love It or Hate It, Love It experience.
And I was like, man, that dude, that monkey hated that guy's guts, dude. There's no way.
That's a level of hatred.
Even also just off of exertion.
Yes.
Like, the monkey could beat his ass anytime, but to, like, sit there and, like, get a hold of that foot and really and twist it off.
Yeah, one would say he went bananas, ape shit, et cetera. We could go on for hours.
Bananas is good, is the best one. But yeah, you don't mess with monkeys, man. You shouldn't.
They'll rip your fucking face off.
There's a, I don't think this is going to make the episode, but well, probably a lot of this, but there's a British boxing podcast monkey I listen to, and they close out every episode by asking the guest who would win in a fight, a prime Mike Tyson or a silverback gorilla. And, everyone with a brain is like, what are you kidding me? And then every stupid British boxer is like, did you say prime Mike Tyson? And I'm like,
okay.
I'm like, fellas. And they all say that, like, because the gorilla won't know it's a fight, is what they all say. And then Mike Tyson could chin him, as they say, without the monkey knowing. He's going to get a couple of shots in before the gorilla knows what's up. And then Mike Tyson might put the gorilla on his back foot and might be able to take him down because he's going to beat him up because the gorilla won't see it coming.
I think the gorilla...
They also...
The beginning, Mike will have the beginning where it's like, well, he needs to agitate the gorilla.
Right, but they're saying he's so powerful, he'll get a quick uppercut in there and stun him and be able to finish the job. They also one time did have an actual, like, monkey... doctor, monkey expert, whatever you call him.
an apologist.
And that guy was like, that's absolutely insane. The monkey would literally kill Mike Tyson and laugh in his face while he killed him. They were like, yeah, he would tear his arms off. Like he would, he's like, you don't understand how strong they are. Like he would kill him immediately.
I would think that the gorilla not knowing it's a fight would be a hindrance to Mike Tyson because he's going to kill him.
Hey, heads up. Everything's a fight to a gorilla. They don't know anything else. What are you talking about? Yeah, like they're going to, and they kept saying like, but here's the thing, Doc. It's a prime Mike Tyson. And he's like, no, listen, the gorilla's going to kill Mike Tyson.
So that was Monkey Chat, our famous segment for our year-end episode.
That was some monkey business.
Yeah, that was some monkey business with our guest, Elena Dervis. Is it time for the best part of the show?
Indeed.
That's the best part.
So that's the famous sound. The guy in the clip, he's pressing the soda tap. He's letting you know that that's the best part because this is the best part of the podcast, the show. What's on tap? He's pressing a tap.
Gotcha. I've not seen that video. I feel bad.
Do what?
Is it a viral video or something? Like good.
No, it's a video I found with like 300 views, and I used it for. Because it's like a soda, you know, it's like a soda tap, and the segment is called "What's on Tap." It's the best part.
No,
of the
I understood the tap thing there. So.
You could have used. Turns out you could have used Happy Feet.
Mm-hmm.
His tap dance.
Oh yeah, I think in one of the early episodes, I used like a very bad clip of tap dancing that sounds very like raw. We didn't end up using that, but instead of soda, though, we're discussing what's on tap as far as movies goes for next week. Elena brought a prompt. Infidelity. What's your thought process?
I honestly was just thinking of like random words, and that was like one of the first ones that came to my head, and I thought that it would be a good catch-all. Plenty of things to choose from. Cheating, suspecting of cheating. Can I give out a suggestion for what I'd love to hear you guys chat about?
For sure.
Wait.
Eyes Wide Shut. I think that would be a fun thing to hear you both have your takes on.
Well, I know what that movie is. I know that it is a movie with
Nicole Kidman, Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise. Quinn made a joke about it earlier today.
Cruise, in my opinion, like, I think me and Quinn grew up with him being like a psycho Scientologist. So we don't really get like Tom Cruise in his prime, and this is it. So,
well, you know, if you really read some of the stuff they think, it's not all that crazy. I'm just kidding. Kidding, of course. All right, so who goes first, Quinn? Is it you or I? I can't recall. You go first. It's a love.
Yeah, I'm giving you a love. But Elena, before I go into this, Elena, if you want to recommend us Eyes Wide Shut, you should come on for a Split the Room episode.
We'd love to have you. More than anything. I want to be anytime.
My choice for next week, Infidelity. I think you'll love this movie. Hopefully you haven't seen it. I'm assigning you Moonstruck.
Moonstruck. Never heard of it.
Awesome. We have it in the store, I think.
I'm going to tell Rachel the movie because I forget every single week and I have to text you and she gets mad. Hang on. Rachel, the movie is Moonstruck. Moonstruck is the movie. Never heard of it.
It's on Showtime for the viewers at home.
I do want to know how to watch it, but I don't want to know anything else.
I think you'll love it.
I wonder if it's someone who gets hit by the moon. Doubt it. Obviously it's about infidelity somehow. Quentin, infidelity. Infidelity, most seen, especially with films, is the breakup of a marriage, a divorce.
That's true.
That is the core of the kernel of this film. It's a film franchise we've talked about a little bit on the podcast. The movie for you is Home Alone 4.
No way.
So I messed up with Home Alone 3. Home Alone 3, turns out, is not a Christmas movie. I assigned a Christmas movie when it was not a Christmas movie during Christmas. I'm obviously going to rectify that error. So instead of watching a January movie in Christmas, which we did already, we're going to watch a Christmas movie in January. The movie is Home Alone 4. Infidelity is involved. It fits the prompt, believe it or not. Home Alone 4. And also, here's what's crazy, not the last Home Alone movie, I found out.
Is this the one where they're taking back the house? I think I've seen a cover, but that's all I know about it.
You showed me a VHS copy of it because we had it at the store.
Oh, yeah.
Episode where I listened to the first part.
You're not going to watch Home Alone 4 with us?
I've never seen any of them, and I think that's fine.
Whoa. 1 and 2, rip. 3 is real,
I'm a big Grinch. I don't really like care for Christmas movies. I Love Actually, I guess, is good, but yeah.
Let's see that one. All right. So, I don't know how to watch Home Alone 4. Or no, I do. I think it's HBO Max, actually. I don't know why that's funny, but to me, it's like, I think of like...
It's a premium streaming service.
Boardwalk Empire, The Sopranos, Home Alone 4. I remember it because... I'm sorry. And it's also not owned by the same people. And that's why it's like Home Alone 1 and 2 are on Disney Plus.
3 is also on Disney Plus. And then inexplicably, the fourth one is on HBO Max.
HBO Max, correct.
Infighting.
But I have actually seen the movie.
Whoa.
And recently and intentionally. I was like, you know what? Let's go ahead and get this out of the way. I know I'm gonna find a way to assign this. And then when we got the prompt, I was like, oh, I can do this. So, Home Alone 4, you're going to love it. I mean, hate it. And I'm going to love Moonstruck.
Before we go, Elena, do you got any plugs?
Not really. Longer 23 on Twitter. I'm private because I have a job, but if you request me, I'll probably let you do it. And yeah.
Oh. I thought for a second that you said you're verified on Twitter, and I was like, whoa.
No, but I do have 50,000 followers on TikTok, so.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, I have this viral video of my friend's like 16-year-old dog pooping like across the room, and I put it to this like background song that's like really creepy and unsettling, and it has like almost 3 million likes, so. Went a little crazy in the summer, it went viral.
That's insane.
I can like send a link and I'll send it to Quentin and he can send it to you.
Yeah, I want to see this now. I've never known anyone who's gone viral. It's good. It's cool that it's not you. Like, it's not like people are going to see you and be like, hey, are you the girl who broke her ankle? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like one of those things. Like,
now it's like.
So you get like the good side of virality, but you don't have to get any of the bad side.
But I'm in my sophomore slump because it's not my dog, and I don't think I'll see it anytime soon, and it's probably going to die soon, so.
Yeah. Well, that's what they say. That's what every band, you get 25 years to write your first record, and then you got 6 months to write the second record. It's not fair. That's what happens.
My TikTok really quick. It is Peter, Bjorn, and Lon. Peter, Bjorn, and Lon. So,
Yeah, for sure. I think I found this viral video, this TikTok.
The way that you described it, it sounds like a specific scene.
I've seen this video.
Shut up.
No, I know this video. The dog doo-dooing. Yeah. I've seen that. I didn't know that was. Well, obviously, I didn't know it was you.
Ruby, she is 16 years old, and she just is like arthritic, and she can't go outside because she'll fucking break her legs. Like.
Well, TikTok of the year goes to Elena for the dog doo-doo one.
You, I am a filmmaker.
Get the Leo.
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome.
Well, that's a wrap on 2020. We'll see you all in 2021.
Roll credits. Love it or hate it.